Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you here. It's a hump day, or is it a happy Wednesday? Probably not so much for Shocker and Wildcat fans this morning. Rough night of college basketball last night. Woof. Just brutal all over the place. We're going to get to some reaction after those games. Jad's cutting up some audio for us. We'll let you hear that throughout the show here today. We'll have Shreya Slada in to talk KU athletics as the Jayhawks bounce back. We'll look ahead for the basketball team, get the latest in the portal and what's been happening for KU football. Been making some noise early on in the portal, to say the least, and what's still to come. So we'll have that for you. We will get you the latest on Patrick Mahomes and his injury. Full participant in practice yesterday. Vegas is reacting. Lines are swinging wildly as we get into it. And we'll discuss what he had to say. It sure sounds like he's going to be playing. But a lot to get into today. It's Jacob Albrecht. It's Tommy Kester. It's Paul Savage. It's a three-man booth on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Glad to have you with us. Glad to be here. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. That will be brought to you by IHOP, of course. Official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try our decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. So here we go, fellas. This is about as bad as it gets on a night of college basketball pre-conference on a Tuesday. That was, Tommy, just gross all the way around.
It was rough. It was a rough outing. Rough night for both Wichita State and Kansas State. You know, what do you do? We got to react to all of it today.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not good. There's no sugarcoating it. It's just, it doesn't work, Paul, this time of year. You lose to Kansas City if you're the Shockers. For K-State, it's not Drake. You know, Drake wasn't a bad opponent or anything like that, but to get down early like they did just isn't what you want to see there either.
Well, no. I mean, it's Drake. Drake's a good basketball team, but it doesn't matter who it is. I don't care. I don't care if it's the number one team in America. You don't want to get down by 20 in the first half, do you? I mean, that's almost the end of the game. I mean, because 20 is a lot to come back from, and it's very disappointing to see. I'll tell you what, if you saw any of the press conference after the game, Coach Tang, he's he seems a little befuddled because obviously I think the talent on this team is better than they're showing. Now, what do you do to get the talent going in the right direction? That is obviously what you've got to do, and that's what you've got
to do. A little bit of an issue with Paul's audio there, I know, on the video stream. We'll get that sorted out. But look, the bottom line is we're sitting here now. We're trying to figure out what's going on with these teams. I don't know what to say. You know, Paul Mills after the game, very disappointed in the Shockers' performance, apologizing to the fans for the effort from some of those guys. Last night, Jerome Tang, a different take. And again, we'll play this for you later in the show. It kind of challenging, I think, fans for getting on to the players. I'm not exactly sure what that was after the game and talking about 30 for 30 movies on the bus. Like, it's just not, I don't know where you have more concern, honestly, Tommy, whether it's with the Shockers or K-State after those games. I've been thinking about that. For me, it's probably a tie, which would be very concerned about both. I think I think they're both very concerning right now. Things that we saw last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for Wichita State, I mean, the concern is that you lose a bye game, right? You know, you have to write a check to UMKC, and then they beat you on your home court. And, you know, so knowing that, I mean, yeah, I think that the level of concern is pretty high. I would say probably higher for Wichita State at this point than Kansas State, although Kansas State is concerning too. Drake is a really good basketball team. And Kansas State did make it a game towards the end. You know, so there are, I think, maybe a couple of more encouraging points for Kansas State overall. But yeah, both disappointing. I will give the nod, though, to Wichita State at this point.
Yeah, because it's going to kill your resume later in the year. No matter what else happens, Paul, the rest of the year, other than winning the conference, as we're stacking resumes, that loss is going to really, really hurt Wichita State.
Well, and it's even deeper than that because what can the confidence level be in your basketball team? I mean, you lose to Kansas City. I mean, most people don't even know what their mascot is, let alone you lose a basketball game. This is Wichita State. This is Wichita State. The tradition, the history, the Roundhouse, Ralph Miller, this is Dave Stallworth, Cleo Littleton. This is Wichita State, and we're in unprecedented times. Now, I'm not gonna throw the baby in with the bathwater on this because I still think there's a lot of upside to go. I still think we have a head coach that's still putting his stamp on this program. I think there's a lot of things this team needs to learn. But the bad thing is, if I have to point anything out that I don't like in this scenario, it's their leadership. This is a team that has a lot of senior leadership, or I should say experienced leadership. You've got at least four seniors and a junior getting a lot of playing time. Tommy, don't you have to expect that Wichita State would be showing better, would be competing better, would be playing better? And it goes back to the little things, Jacob and Tommy, and that's like free throws. How about you make some free throws? You think that might make a difference in this game? Well, I think it might make a difference in this game. And right now the Shockers are really, I don't want to say they're shooting 50, but they're hovering around that territory, 50% shooting free throws in the last few games. And there are little things like that you've got to do. And free throws, guys, isn't that just a mindset? Isn't that just confidence? Isn't that maybe just and I know they're probably shooting enough free throws, you know, in practice. I just can't imagine how many they are. I'll bet they're shooting a ton of them. But right now, they've got to do the little things like make free throws.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. You're right. You can't come out in a game and go 9 of 18 from the free throw line in the second half, especially in a game that you're trailing. You know, Paul Mills challenged the energy level there in his apology. It's just not okay. Like, it's not okay to lose that game at home. You know, blowing a halftime lead and losing by 19 on the road to DePaul, we talked about, you know, okay, that's, you know, that DePaul shot the lights out. Honestly, not a lot you're going to do when a team shoots that way. They were hitting everything. But then you follow it up with that kind of a loss at home. Maybe it's a look ahead situation for K-State, but Wichita State, Tommy, is not in the situation where they need to ever look ahead to anything. I mean, and the reality is there's not enough butts in the seats at Coke Arena for these games. And now you've got fans sitting here a little shell-shocked, like, is this, are we doing last year all over again? Because this is what we saw last year. We saw a team get out to a good start, and then everything crumble and collapse. Well, I mean, I don't think that that's going to happen again, but optics of this are really, really bad.
Well, I mean, I think we can just call it for what it is, and I think it's okay to, you know, call a spade here. I mean, this is by far the worst loss of the Paul Mills era. I mean, in the short time that he's been at Wichita State, you know, you go through, and last year was a bad year, right, overall. The conference schedule was not good. You know, the results, they started off the year well, and then they fell apart in conference play down the stretch, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't lose a bye game, right? This takes me back to 2 years ago, the final year of Isaac Brown, when the Shockers lost to Alcorn State. You know, takes me back to that and the feelings of that game. And that's even this game last night is a little bit different than 2 years ago, because I think at that point in the Isaac Brown era, everybody kind of knew that it wasn't going to be a long-term relationship with Isaac Brown. I think that everybody kind of knew that the program was going to go in a different direction. You had a new athletic director just coming in who was evaluating the program, you know, all of that. And so, yeah, it was really disappointing at the time when Isaac Brown and his team 2 years ago lost Alcorn State. But what's different now is that you felt like there's been this momentum and this growth, and you know, the trajectory is moving upward with Paul Mills and this program, and then you have an outcome like that last night. And so I think that even while I can compare it to what happened 2 years ago, it's a different scenario entirely, and it reminds me of that. But I actually think this is more disappointing than what they went through in that game 2 years ago.
It for sure is. I think expectations are higher, and there's more on the line in college athletics than there was then, to some degree. Like, the pressure is much higher than it was then, I would say. And I agree. I you just can't have that. And I don't even honestly, like, I don't even know what happened, right? It's not like Kansas City and came in and shot the lights out from three. It's not like Kansas City came in and dominated DeJu at the free throw line. They didn't shoot the three or free throws well in that game, quite frankly. Kansas City should not ever out-rebound Wichita State. That's a problem. Wichita State didn't turn the ball over a ton. Kansas City had more turnovers than the Shockers. I don't know. And I hope that you can just wash it away and come back and have a nice performance this weekend if you're the Shockers. The problem with this loss is it's going to kill you. It's going to kill your resume later. Like, if you're like the chances now of them ever being in the at-large conversation with this loss at home, I doubt it. Unless you know they go on some incredible run here, I doubt it. Very different vibe there for K-State. So that's the Shockers, and we'll get more into this. We'll get to that audio later. Okay. Now let's talk about K-State on the other side of this break, because that's also a very different sort of feeling, I think, around the program right now. We'll do that when we return. It's Albrock, it's Caster, it's Savage. It's a Wednesday. Chad Chambers producing. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us all fueled up. Glad to be here with you on a Wednesday. We'll be right back. Into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and odyssey.com, you can just download the app, visit odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the app to get started today. Thanks to everyone listening to us on the app. You can leave us your voice messages there on the app. You can also leave us your video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X, all ways you can look. Patricia asks and says, seems to be a disgruntlement with the players causing problems. I would push back against that. I have not detected that with this group. This group does seem to be good in that regard to me. Now, obviously, we need to pay attention to that sort of thing. But we'll get more into that. We'll let you maybe hear what Paul Mills had to say after the game. The other problem last night is K-State. Now, K-State got back into it. They took that game to overtime. Tang finally loses an overtime game. But they lose the game. They got way down to Drake. And then post-game took an interesting tone. Let's play this Jerome Tang audio first, and then we can sort of react to it. Because what would have been just another disappointing loss in which K-State still has not beaten a quality opponent this year turned into a much bigger conversation today because of what Coach Tang had to say after the game. Here it is. Jad has that audio.
Man, Coleman's effort and his leadership, the energy, the enthusiasm he played with was great. His buy-in on, you know, what we wanted to do. I was so proud of that. And it's a shame, you know, that some of the comments that these guys get, right? Like, the narrative going into this game was that the Drake team, which is a wonderful group of young men, they're super loyal and, they went with their coach and, you know, together. Well, I mean, you look at the guys on our roster, right? Like, let's talk, like, all the ones that we brought in either had graduated from the university they were at, right? So they had an extra year that allowed them to do something, or their coach either got fired or left, right? So, I mean, you know, you talk about, like, loyalty. Like, I got a great group of dudes there, and they're working really, really hard, and they're trying to put into just a few months what, you know, some of the teams have multiple years to do. And, you know, you see a lot of this, but for any fans, like the ones who are, or any people who are reaching out and saying negative things to these guys, man, shame on you. Shame on you. You know, we watched this on the way up. We watched the ESPN 30 for 30 broke, and I've seen it multiple times. But the thing that stood out to me this time was all of the athletes talked about the pressure that built when they got money, right? The first few times I watched it was about how they just wasted their money. But this time what really stuck out was the pressure that they face when they have money, because they feel like, well, I've got to try and deliver something now because I'm being paid. And man, these young guys, they're feeling that pressure. Right. And for fans, so-called fans, to like add on top of that, that's a crime, man. That's just terrible. And those aren't real K-State fans. Like they definitely are not our people and with us and what we are about.
Well, if what you're about is losing every quality game on the schedule, then no, the fans are not going to be with you. Look, I like Jerome Tang. This is a total swing and miss. Total swing and miss. Tommy, Coleman Hawkins is 23 years old. 23 years old. He's been playing college basketball for like half a decade. Jerome Tang does not need to go to the podium to defend Coleman Hawkins because fans are being mean to him because he got a big NIL deal. I mean, that is a total excuse-making swing and miss. I don't know why this team is not working right, but it is not. They have not won a quality game. Okay. Their wins are against Fort Hays State, New Orleans, Cleveland State, Mississippi Valley State, George Washington, Longwood, and UAPB. And they have lost every game against at least a competent opponent this year. That is not the fans' fault for being disappointed in the team. Now, should fans go troll on social media? I don't know, man. That takes a special kind of person that I don't waste. Like, Jerome Tang and these players should not be wasting their time worrying about what social media trolls are doing. If you want fans to be excited about the program, play better. Play better. Because now we're at a year and a half of this. That is not a good sign to me that's where we're going after a game like that against Drake.
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts about his comments post-game, and none of them are positive. And I like Jerome Tang. I'm like you. I like Jerome Tang. But I agree with you wholeheartedly that was a major swing and a miss. You and I were texting last night about this, and I looked it up because I couldn't remember exactly what the term was. What Jerome Tang did is what you call a red herring. He's distracting away from the actual issue by bringing up something unrelated, something irrelevant to the issue at hand. The issue at hand is that they're not winning basketball games. The issue is that they're falling behind out of the gate way too early, like they did last night against Drake. They're not making the shots they need to make. And the guy that they gave $2 million to in NIL money is not producing up to expectations. He's not performing at the levels expected of him. And so Jerome Tang talking about a 30 for 30 show about players making money and then shaming, trying to shame the fan base, is a complete mistake. That's not the right direction. That ain't it, Jerome Tang. That's not the way that you go about it. The bottom line is that we are in an NIL world now where these players are making money, and with that money comes expectations. With that money comes responsibility to deliver on the investment that has been given to you. And I think I told you this last night as well. Jerome Tang cannot try to protect these players like boys when they're being paid like men. Bottom line, they're being paid like men. Coleman Hawkins is making more money than I will ever see. And so if he can't handle, and if Jerome Tang can't handle fans being critical of him not performing up to those expectations, then he shouldn't be getting paid $2 million. That's just the bottom line.
And he's not a 17-year-old freshman. Coleman Hawkins is older than Grady Dick. Like, let's be real about this, too. Guys like Coleman Hawkins and Hunter Dickinson and Will Howard in football that stick around to basically be professional college athletes, can we not pretend like college athletes have never been under pressure before? Like, now all of a sudden there's pressure at this level of athletics for a fifth-year, sixth-year senior because he's being paid? Well, that's not why there's pressure on him. There's pressure on him because he's supposed to help K-State be good, and they're not right now. And it's just like, you can't have it both ways. You can't advocate for these players to get paid and be treated like professionals, but then get that defensive when they're being treated like professionals. Right. Like, which way are you going to have it? You can't do both. Either they're little kids that need to be protected, or they're athletes that are getting paid to do a job that aren't doing it well. It just doesn't make any sense. And A, don't ever shame, and I'm not making that word up, he is, your fans, especially when you're not playing well. You don't get to shame the fans that are paying to go watch you lose. You can't shame them. They're fans. That's what fans do. You got to have a better concept of that. It drives me crazy when coaches do that. It definitely drives me crazy when coaches who have real problems on the court try to do things like that and distract them. Paul, what your thoughts on that?
Everybody's so mean, Jacob. Everybody's so mean, and it's just not fair. That $2 million is only going to go so far. It's not. I mean, it's only $2 million. Come on, you guys are all so unfair.
Do you think that these players would catch criticism if they weren't being paid? Of course,
sure they
would.
They would.
They would catch the exact same amount of criticism.
You know, Coleman Hawkins said that he checked his phone and somebody had reached out to him, I don't know, on social media or whatever, wishing that he would break his leg. And I think that was what Jerome Tang was referencing when he was talking about that, because I'm sure Hawkins told him whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's not nice. That person's a troll, whatever that is. You're making $2 million. Like, wipe your tears with the dollar bills that you're making, my friend.
I don't even care if he gets paid. If you don't get paid a penny, you ignore those idiots. Like, those fans are idiots that would reach out and say something like that. But you can't holistically come out and make blanket statements about criticism coming to the players because they're being paid.
Right.
If you want to get up there and say, hey, somebody messaged Coleman Hawkins and wished him a broken leg, shame on him, he's an idiot, I got no issue with that. Right, fine. You don't need to, because, again, that person's an idiot that's just looking for attention. It just blows my mind that's where we go in this. Coleman Hawkins had a great game last night. He said it's us versus everybody. Whatever motivation you need, man, I don't care what it is. If you need to make it you against the world, go for it. Just start winning quality games. That's all I care about. Win a game that matters. You know, take care of somebody, not a Cleveland State. If we can, that would certainly help. Man, I couldn't believe that. That, you know, the way they played back in that game and battled back and took it to overtime, that was probably not going to be that big a deal yesterday, and now it's going to be a big deal all week long and a distraction, and that was a big swing and a miss. All right, we'll come back. Let's talk to Shreya Salata about what's happening at KU right now. Basketball program bounces back with a nice win in their most recent game from a bad week, and the football program is going nuts right now in the transfer portal. We'll have all that for you. Shreya Salata, our KU insider, joins us next on Sports Daily.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreya Salata.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Wednesday. Shreya Salata is joining us, KU beat reporter for the Kansas City Star for basketball and football. We'll get to basketball. I want to start with football, Shreya, because it's been an interesting opening to the portal. KU very, very active right now. So, you know, it's hard to follow this stuff. 24/7 has them ranked, I think, 13th in the portal classes so far. Of course, there's a lot of big time guys who haven't moved yet. They're third right now in the Big 12. It's a lot of players, not necessarily the headline guys yet, but they've got them with 7 3-star guys. But I think when we look at that, that's pretty critical for KU with all the turnover they have. It's almost less about, you know, down the road and how many of the biggest fish they might be able to lure in, but more about how do you replenish this roster when it will have so many losses next year?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's one of those things that, let's call it what it is. If Kansas wanted to have any hopes of contending for a bowl game next year, they had to replenish in a good way the portal. What they've done so far has been impressive, but it's not something I didn't expect because it's a numbers game, right? You had 15 starters leaving, over 30 seniors, 38 who walked on senior day, around 30 plus who are going to leave. And on top of that, you have 5 or 6 guys enter the portal. I think 2 more just added yesterday, and their punter and backup kicker. So they've done a really good job of going to these areas that they need depth, that they need starting players, and they've replenished it. They've had multiple offensive linemen, which is big because they bring back 3 guys who have played, who started for them last year at different points of the year and played multiple, like, you know, games starting. They brought in a former 4-star recruit, top 50 recruit, according to On3, in Jahil Hurley, who was 1 year removed. You know, he played at Alabama last year, 1 year removed from that class. I think they've done a really good job of addressing the needs. I think the big thing is, can they bring in another wide receiver or 2 to help Jalen Daniels? The Ball State wide receiver they brought in is pretty good. He was a third team All MAC. Let's see how much that translates. I mean, they have a really young wide receiver room. You know, they had 4 guys brought in, I think, in the last 2 years in their signing class who are wide receivers. So it seems like they're going to lean on that youth a little bit, but I think there's probably an alpha receiver that they haven't gone and gotten yet, which I think is big. But I've been impressed, but I don't think it should be, you know, like super surprising because at the end of the day, they had to replace the guys one way or the other. Whether they're good or bad, we have no idea, right? Like these guys on number, 24/7 Sports and On3, and they're always like, oh, this ranks here. That I don't take much stock into that. I don't think they mean anything. I think it's good for us, and it's easy to tell a fan that this guy was a former 4-star recruit or he's a 3-star, you know, transfer ranking. But the reality of the thing is, I don't really care what happened 2 years ago when you were in high school and you were a 4-star. What's changed since then? Are you still that player? Sometimes it's true. Sometimes it's not. So we'll see if the guys they've added are impacting players and, you know, at least at the very least beat depth pieces.
Well, when you look at the coaching staff, talk a little about coaching staff, where you think it's going to be, how, what changes are made, have been made, are going to be made, or being contemplated to be made. Because of course that's really, really important. It gives us an insight as to what, you know, the Jayhawks will be about, how they go about things. What can you tell us about anything going on with the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think what they've done is they've gone out and gotten some internal hires, which I think are big in the sense of Zabrowski is somebody that they probably should have arguably just hired out of the bat instead of, you know, Jeff Grimes, because it seems like both parties are kind of ready to leave each other in the background, you know, with how quick he took that Wisconsin job. Obviously, it's a good job, but still, I've been pretty impressed. I mean, DK McDonald, you know, it's hard to say how good he's going to be. He has experience. You know, he was at Iowa State for a while. He had the Philadelphia Eagles experience. You know, the defensive back room, I know, was kind of, you know how defensive backs are, in the sense that they can be expressive. So it's a little up and down. So it's hard to say how he is felt about in the locker room on the defensive side. I had talked to a player or two off the record about this, and just, you know, it seems like they're excited. Guys who have left the team are excited that the direction Kansas football is going to be in. And I just think it's really interesting to see how Kansas has done a really good job, I think, of gone out and gotten the guys they feel like on the coaching staff wise can make them a better team. I've been pretty impressed with the fact that they brought back Matt Lubbock, who was a really big instrumental guy for them a couple of years ago with Andy Kotelnicki. I think he led Kansas two top 50 offenses before he left. And no, he did that with battling cancer. I think he was going through chemotherapy at that time. And he has a pretty prestigious career. He brought Nevada to a top 50 offense from a, you know, top 150 the year before. So I think that's going to help him a lot. Having that familiarity of Coach Zebrowski and Lubbock in the room is just going to make Jalen Daniels that much better next year. And, you know, I have high expectations for this coaching staff in the sense that it should be a step forward. I think Brian Borland, you know, on the defensive side needed to be, you know, considered of retirement or being replaced. And I think Kansas did that in the sense of, you know, it worked out for both parties.
I'll let a viewer, I should say, somebody that watches us on YouTube, have this next question. Trius Ken asks, and it does follow into what I was going to ask you anyway. We talk about all these new players needing to come in. I just wonder how you set expectations then next year, because it's a lot of new faces. And Ken asks about the offensive line specifically. You know, how realistic is it to bring in a bunch of new guys all at once and expect them to, you know, get after it? But as you know, I think that when we watch college football now, this is happening all over the place. So I don't think it's fair to say, oh, well, you know, but it's going to be a lot of new faces and maybe we shouldn't expect too much, because that's what kind of what everybody's doing to some degree.
Yeah. You know, I think on the offensive line thing, I will say this. Kansas has done a tremendous job of plug and playing guys from the transfer portal. Last year, they brought in Bryce Foster, all Big 12 player. You know, he was also, I think, number four in power four centers this past year, which is crazy, right? Like, that's a guy who was in the SEC the year before, and he's done a good job. They brought in a guy who was the Remington Award winner in Division II, who did a pretty good job this year, too. I think, you know, lineman is the least of KU's concerns. I think that's the one thing. Like, obviously, there's a little bit of a, it takes some time to adjust. They brought in a lot of offensive linemen, but I've been really impressed with Leipold and his staff and being able to, you know, get the offensive line ready. I think since 2022, KU's been, you know, in the top half of the Big 12 in sacks allowed, you know, which is a great sign. You know, they have done a tremendous job of keeping, for the most part, Jalen Daniels upright and not, you know, having to really scramble as much. I know we had a couple of games this past year where, you know, there was a few times the offensive line didn't look as good, but those things happen, right? This Kansas team is not infallible. I think if there's one position that I'm not super concerned with and I have complete faith in on the transfer portal for Kansas to do well at, it's the offensive line. I think that Daryl Okpelsa has done a really good job this past year, but it's also just continuity, right, from last year. And on top of that, you know, they've consistently been able to bring in guys where it was Dominic Pooney the year before that. Now, you know, who have come in and played significant snaps and done a good job for them. Just going back to the overall question, I think it's really interesting because we have no idea. I have no idea what to expect because, you know, we thought this Kansas team was going to win a Big 12 title with so much more experience, right? And they didn't. They didn't even come close. I think it's so hard to make a judgment call on how good these people are. I think, you know, maybe my expectation for coming into this year was maybe you win five. You know, if that's a good year, five or six, seven, that's a good year coming into this upcoming year, of course. But, you know, depending on how the first couple games look, how they look on the offense side of the ball, I think that's going to be a big thing because Jalen has got to look how he's looked the second half of the season, not the first half of the season. Then we can kind of exceed lower, you know, up or down the expectations. But it is the way I look at this team, with the amount of talent that they have to replace and the fact that it's not filled with a lot of older guys like last year's team was. If you make a bowl game, I consider that a successful season for Lance Leipold and that team.
You know, Sharias, you just used a word about 30 seconds ago, expectations. Let's swing to basketball, if you don't mind, and let's continue this little exploration of expectations. KU, 8-2, a loss with Missouri, a loss with Creighton. Got Brown coming up Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday.
Then you start Big 12 play. I mean, you start Big 12 play December the 31st. Expectations. Now that you got 10 games on the books, what are your expectations? How are your expectations? Are they above? Are they below? What do you think on expectations for KU now that we're on the cusp of Big 12 play?
Listen, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm a numbers guy as much as I'm an eye test guy, and I don't feel great about this Kansas team. I don't think they're the number one team in the country. I don't think they were what we thought they were. Maybe that will change. Maybe they won't. But I look at this team, and I just see concerning trends across the board. I wrote about this story this morning that came out. But the free throw rate thing, is it a big issue? Yes, a little bit, in the sense that no team ranked 360th or even close to that has been a title winner. Is it the end-all, be-all? Not really. There's been multiple teams in the top 200s that have won a title. But,
okay.
The last, since 2013, 2014, the teams that have been in the 200s in free throw rate, you know what they've been in? Top 50 to top 100 in three-point percentage or three-point rate, one or the other. The one exception to that rule was that UNC team in 2016, 2017. You know what was special about that team? They were number one in offensive rebounding and number one in overall rebounding, which Kansas is not that, okay, as we know. So to me, as a guy that looks at the numbers, the guy that looks at what this Kansas team is, I think they are much more talented than last year. I think they can make a bigger run than last year. I think they can figure it out. But we are sitting here, and we are a game away from conference play, and we have no idea who the fifth starter is. We're still talking about KJ Adams, AJ Storr, and Ryland Griffin. We should not be talking about this. This is about to be January. We have no idea if this three-point shooting thing that everyone talked about was going to be so much better that everyone thought, including me, is for real. They're shooting 35.4% from three. Better than last year? Yes. They don't take enough threes where I really care about the percentage. Okay? They're 309th in three-point rate. That's horrible. They were 330th or something like that last year. I just sit there, and I think it's going to come down to two things. The draw they get in the NCAA tournament bracket, because when I went back and I looked at this in 2021, 2022, that season they won the title. Let's call it what it is. That team wasn't that good in the regular season. People like to rewrite history, but they really weren't. They caught on fire in the NCAA tournament because they played the right opponents and they had the right matchups. I'm not sitting there and saying Kansas can't win a title. But now we're looking at the trends that what they can be and what they will become. I'm looking at, maybe this isn't a title-winning team. Maybe this is a Sweet 16, Elite 8 team, okay? I think that's where I'm at right now. Things can change. They always, you know, I'm never going to count out Bill Self, but I don't think this team is as good as anyone thought it was at preseason.
And yeah,
whether it's good or bad, I don't know.
I don't think that's unfair. It's really more about, can they get there? I think, as much as anything, the concerning thing for me is it still looks like a team that's way too reliant on Hunter Dickinson. And so, like, I don't like seeing another dirty foul, whatever you want to call it, but another situation where Dickinson puts himself in a position to let the referees make a decision, right, on whether or not he can finish a game. Like, I don't like that. That needs to change. He's got to be smarter than that. We've seen that twice now this season. Can't and now he's got a reputation, right? That's not good either for officiating, because they can't seem to be anything but an offense that runs through him, right? Like, I think that's where I become concerned about it. If you want to compare it to last year, they were too reliant on him last year, and it just feels like they're too reliant on him again this year. And so when it's like, what can change? The only thing I could see on the roster that could change it is if, like, Zeke Mayo becomes this elite level scorer, because he seems to be the only one that's even remotely close to being able to do that. It doesn't look like Griffin and Store can. So can Mayo become a bigger focal point in the offense? I think he's tried, right, to his credit. I think he's taken the shots. I think he's at least put in the effort into it. But I'm with you. I don't know if that's there.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about this after his game on Saturday or whatever. He had a career high 26 points. He hadn't hit 15 points since the second game of the season. Can we just talk about that? Zeke Mayo is by far their best transfer. He's been by far the guy that's come in and been the most comfortable in this Bill Self system. The guy that we thought was going to be the guy for Kansas this year outside of Hunter Dickinson was A.J. Store. He had 0 points at halftime, played a grand total of 6 minutes, took two shots. You know what he ended up with? 2 points on three shots. He had one rebound, one assist. What are we doing here? This guy had 16 points per game in Wisconsin last year.
It doesn't make any sense.
Has he lost complete confidence in himself? Does Bill Self not believe in him? Is it a mix of everything? Probably. Okay. I'm not sitting there, you know, it just feels like the guys we thought were going to pick up the load, shoulder the load, haven't done that. And even KJ Adams is down shooting wise, percentage wise, in the sense of scoring. He's averaging 8 points per game. He was 12 last year. That makes a difference. DeJuan Harris has been better this year, I think, to start off the year, but it's not enough of a big difference when everybody else is down. Even Hunter Dickinson hasn't been as good as last year, I don't think. He's had a couple of no-show games where he just hasn't been good because of either foul trouble or him being kind of neutralized. I think, you know, we look back at last year's team. We knew it was going to unravel the minute Kevin McCullough was completely out of the thing. This year's team, there's hope that maybe one of these transfer guys can come in and become the Robin that KU basketball so desperately needs him to be. The only guy that I can think can consistently do it and should be able to do it or has a chance of doing it is A.J. Store. I'd be surprised if Zeke Mayo can come out there and put up 20 points per game every game or 15 in every single conference game. He didn't do it against non-con play.
He's going to try. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that because he's at least going to try. Right now, it doesn't feel like you can even get the others to go for it, right? It's like, what are we waiting for? Like, go now. Now's the time.
Yes, and I respect that so much. He's not afraid of the moment. I think there are guys on that bench that are afraid of the moment, and it shows in their play. And it shows in their play. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic or whatever, but this is my third year covering Kansas basketball. And if I get another year where they lose in the second round, I would be annoyed, okay? Because I missed UConn men's basketball by winning a title by a year. I miss Kansas winning by a year. My friends call it the Shreyas curse. They're just waiting for me to leave the beat so they can bet on Kansas.
Trace, I'm going to tell you right now, if you try to do anything to the NCAA basketball tournament, you're a crazy person because it doesn't matter. There are years where great teams get bounced and there are years where bad teams go deep and there is no rhyme or reason to it. It's all about the matchup. So we know that.
100%.
So I wouldn't sweat that too much. Because it's you know, it is enjoy conference season. That's where you really get the lay of the land, which, by the way, starts on December 31st, which, by the way, is 13 days away. And in between, you know, over a 17 day stretch here, we'll see KU play only one game against Brown. If there's ever a time Bill Self can get through to this team, it's now. If there's ever a time he can reach one of these players to do it, it's now. That conference, you get Brown and then you open the conference and here we go. Look for Shreyas's work on social media, always at the KC Star. Lots of great coverage of both football and basketball. Trace, we appreciate it. And we'll talk again next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Actually, we won't talk again next week. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And I'm not sure if we have a show on New Year's Day either. We may have to reschedule you and get you in here on a different day. We'll get all over that. Here in a minute. Everything falls on a Wednesday. So there goes Shreyas. Follow his work at the KC Star on social media. We appreciate his participation here. Always really, really good stuff. If you missed any of it, if you joined us late, you can go back and watch on the Odyssey app. When we come back, it's hour number two. I want to tell you about Crestview Country Club. They got all kinds of stuff coming up here for the holidays. You don't want to miss it. It's more than just golf. It's more than just the sports. It's more than just the great pool in the summertime. They got a great restaurant, great bar, all kinds of great events for when the weather turns cold. and they'll take care of the kids with their kids club too. Give them a call, ask them about all their different kinds of memberships today. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. We're coming back, hour number two, right after this.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be here with you for hour number two on a Wednesday. Great stuff. With Shrey Slotta there, make sure you go follow that. If you didn't, if you missed any of it, go back on the Odyssey app and listen to it. All right, Tommy, we got an email in from Kevin here that you've got. Great listener, great friend of the program. Kevin Hager's got some thoughts on K-State. I'll let you get us that here, and then we'll continue that discussion we had before we switch gears there in hour number one.
Yeah, so Kevin reached out to us via email this morning. He says, negativity and trolling on social media never makes things better. Going after players, paid or not, will not change anything for the better. It probably does just the opposite. Why would a good player want to stay if they see how players are treated? Why would a good recruit want to come here if they know they are going to get hammered if they don't meet expectations? Why would a donor want to give money if they know fans will turn on the brand if things don't go well? Again, negativity and trolling on social media never makes things better.
Can I answer that? Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Here's the answer to that. Is that they're in a university in the country that won't have trolls. You don't play well, you know, you're going to catch some flack. You're going to catch some heat. You look at, let's use University of Kentucky. That's been traditionally one of the top three or four programs in America. Everybody has high expectations. Low expectations have never been a part of the University of Texas, or University of Kentucky, I mean. And when you look at that school, you don't play well. You're not going to get any credit. In fact, it's just the opposite. You're going to be punished, and you're going to be talked about, and you're going to be ostracized. But that's the way it is. You'll not find a school that doesn't have people with telephones, the ability to troll. It's a part of life. Get over it. Figure it out. You know, I mean, just figure this out, because you're going to have problems wherever you go if you don't play well. Now, guess how you solve that problem, Tommy? Would you like to know? You play well.
Play well.
You win. Then all of a sudden, there is no problems. But right now, people look at these kids and they think to themselves, and it's even worse now, if you're going to make $2 million like the kid at K-State, if you're going to make $2 million, there are expectations. I have higher expectations than some kid getting, you know, 50 grand. I have more expectations. $2 million is a lot of money. Most people will work their entire life, if they're lucky, make $1 million or two, whatever that number is. So, it's going to be wherever you go, Tommy. So,
we're focused on the wrong thing here.
We're focused on
the wrong thing.
What is that?
And I agree with you, Paul. How do you think Alabama players took it when they lost to Vanderbilt this year?
Oh, right? How
do you think
gosh.
That experience was? Damn. Alabama's not. And full disclosure here, Kevin is in higher education. So yeah, I get it. I don't want to see players trolled either. But the reality is, we're talking about two different things.
How about that? Ohio State, you want to talk about Alabama. Ohio State is one of the best football programs in America, and their players and their coach, I mean, they get beat up all the time because they can't beat Michigan. And they could play for a national championship this year, but they didn't beat Michigan. Like, it's not even just the bad programs. It's even the programs at the very top of the mountain that are hearing this too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Kentucky fans, to Paul, to your point, Paul, Kentucky fans just ran off John Calipari, Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah. That's right. Ran him off
in the mix every year. So look, but that's not, again, here's where we're missing the point, and here's where the biggest swing and miss came from Jerome Tang last night. If you're going to try and isolate the real knuckleheads out there that are going to directly find a way to reach a player and say something completely idiotic, like break your leg, teach your players to ignore those jerk offs, right? Like those people mean nothing. They're irrelevant. We deal with them every day. Who cares? Don't give them the time of day. But to get up after after a game in which, again, you lost to an opponent you should not have lost to, and lecture a fan base and fans more generally for criticizing players and then implying that these players feel more pressure because, like, that is the total wrong message to send. Because now you're enabling excuse making for your players. You can't do that. The message shouldn't be to go up in the post game and lecture fans. The message should be to go in that locker room and lecture your players for letting any fans ever get inside.
The message should also be that in the first half, I checked the score at one point, it was 25-8. Drake was winning. Right? Like that was, and of course, Kansas State had to come back in the second half, forced it to overtime, blah, blah, blah. That's all true, all well and good. That's the message. We got out of the gate poorly. We could not score for the first 15 minutes of the game. Like that, like that's the message. It's not about, well, Coleman Hawkins had a message from somebody that said he should break his leg. Like, that's not the message. That's not what you want to hear from the guy running your program. No. You know, it's not. And then on top of it, too, and I know you brought this up, Jacob, in the first hour. Jerome Tang generally categorized Kansas State fans who are critical and lumped them together with the trolls. That's the wrong play also, because I promise you one thing. There's a good portion, if not all of that NIL money that went to Coleman Hawkins, where the fan base is footing the bill, right? Like, that's the way NIL works. The fan base is paying for that $2 million for Coleman Hawkins to play at K-State. So they absolutely, collectively speaking, should have a voice and be able to air their concerns, whether it's in private conversation with other fans, on social media, whatever. Like, the fan base in this world of college athletics has earned the right to voice their opinion however they would like to, because that's the way NIL works. The fan base is footing the bill for these players to play and get paid to do it.
The reality is they have not looked good since they had two really good players a couple years ago. They did not look good last year. They have not looked good this year. And to ever make it about anything but the shortcomings on the court. I want you, Liz. Okay, so and forgive us if this audio is a little janky, but we also have some Paul Mills audio from a disappointing loss for the Shockers, and let's sort of compare them a little bit, because the tone here very different than what we're talking about with the Jerome Tang postgame comments. So here's Paul Mills after the Shockers' wildly disappointing loss last night.
I thought Corey was. Gave us everything he has, as I told the guys there at the in the locker room. That wasn't because Corey wasn't trying. You know, he's a plus two, able to foul out. You look at his 7 rebounds, 6 of them offensive. Quincy was great. Xavier was great. We just needed defensive contributions from more than those guys and their effort. And unfortunately, you know, I didn't think the energy was what it needed to be until about the 14-minute mark. And that's got to get corrected, because this is not the standard at which we need to play. And I honestly feel bad for Shocker fans that having to watch the first 25 minutes of that basketball game, because that is not the standard around here. We'll address it. We'll get better.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you've got one coach after the game, I don't want to say blaming fans, but lecturing fans, and one coach apologizing to fans. And the message should always be to apologize to fans for a subpar performance. There are no, I'll put it as sweetly, and I mean this endearingly, there are no nastier fans that I've been around than Shocker fans. Shocker fans are mean, right? That's a part of what makes them Shocker fans. If you don't think the Shockers coaches and players are hearing it, especially from the wild and crazy ones, but just in general, like two very different tones, both disappointing games, no question, Tommy. But as we sit here today and our job is to talk about these disappointing losses, you have two very different vibes being put out there. One is taking all the blame and responsibility, and one is doing anything possible to put it somewhere else. And that is wildly telling to me about why what's happening with K-State is more concerning, because it just feels like there doesn't, and look, maybe this is a galvanizing moment, and maybe that's what Tang's trying to do. He is a very intuitive person, and maybe he's using this to motivate his players, and if it works, awesome. Right? Coleman Hawkins is saying it's us versus the world. Maybe this is intentional messaging from Tang. And again, if that works, I'm willing to be like, yeah, sure. Great job. Like, that was very smart. But it doesn't feel that way right now. And we'll see. Wichita State, though, it's like, that is an embarrassment. We can't do that. And that's the first time, though, I will say that we've heard that about the Shockers this year. The first time. There has never been any question or commentary about the chemistry or the effort of that particular team. It's not been that. And so the first time we see it, there's immediate action from the head coach after the game to try and get out ahead of it. It's just very interesting takes after the game and how different they are.
Well, and it works out nicely that both of these teams played last night, so we can compare and contrast the messaging from both head coaches.
Yeah.
And the fact that they play on Saturday against each other in Wichita, so and the fact that they know each other and are friends and have known each other for a long time. Like, all of these things have kind of, it's not ideal that they both lost yesterday, but everything has come together in a way to really make this a fascinating discussion. I think what Paul Mills did last night after the game, and we all know, and I said it in the last hour, the worst loss by far in the Paul Mills era, and disappointing, and all the different adjectives that you want to use to describe that loss. But what Paul Mills did last night at the podium, he did two things. Number one, he apologized. Number two, he said he would address it and that he would fix it. And I texted you last night. I said, feeling bad for the fan base is fine. It's good. I'm glad that he said that. But what's even better is fixing it. And, you know, we'll see how he moves forward with this. But I think he approached that the right way. It also shows to me that Paul Mills has thick skin, because he's able to come out ahead of it and just say, I'm embarrassed. I feel bad, you know, for the program. He knows that he is going to get beat up, you know, by on the message boards and the fans and social media and all of that. He knows that. But he gets out in front of it and apologizes for it. On the flip side, what I saw last night from Jerome Tang is that he's got thin skin right now. And again, maybe it's intentional. Maybe it's something that will galvanize the team. But to me, comparing and contrasting both of those messages, and they made those comments within an hour of each other, shows one coach that's got pretty thin skin and one coach that's got pretty thick skin.
Two life lessons, Jacob. Are you ready for this,
yep.
Tommy?
Yep.
Sure.
You want to take notes? You want to write this down? Here's two life lessons. Handled by two different basketball coaches all on the same day. The first life lesson is, what did Mills do? He identified the problem. And Tommy, what is the first step in solving a problem?
Admitting that you have a problem.
At finding it, identify it, admit you got it, and then you go and solve the problem. That's a great life lesson. Mm-hmm. And it was Coach Mills was right there with it. The other life lesson is, you know, we're now in a world where trolling is everything. You can't turn around and spit on the sidewalk without being trolled by somebody and that being videoed and then put online. You can't do anything. So here's the other life lesson. Take trolls and let the fire burn. Let it sink and go ahead. Accept it. Be okay with it. Nothing's going to change. In fact, here's just the opposite. If you succumb and you complain about trolling, guess what will happen? Do you think Do you think Coach Tang put a fire, doused the fire of trolling? He didn't. So all I'm
saying
is,
and it attracted attention to the point to where now we're all talking about it today.
That's right. And by the way, we get trolled. We get people sometimes text in and say, well, we don't like Savage. We don't like Cash. You guys are not talking about the topics. And we hear all that. You know what we do? We says, well, you may not like what we do, but thank you for listening.
I don't know, Paul. People like me a lot. So I don't get that.
It's just me.
And then there's the negative life lesson of excuse making and enabling.
Right.
Right. Like you cannot
deflecting.
You cannot make excuses.
Right. Boy, that's a no-no.
And by the way, Coleman Hawkins, here's the problem. Coleman Hawkins played great last night. Right. He stuffed a stat sheet like he should have been stuffing.
He did miss some clutch free throws down the stretch.
Right. Yeah. But holistically, I'm saying, like, you'll take that. That's the kind of game that they're paying for. Right. So now, what have you done? You've set him up by doing this. And again, maybe it works because his comments after the game where it's us versus everybody, fine. Whatever motivates him. But you can't come out and make excuses for guys.
And
not 23-year-olds.
Let's face it. The vibes for both teams today are not good. They're not good for either team, right? The vibes are not good after what happened last night for both K-State and Wichita State in advance of their matchup at Coke Arena on Saturday. However, you've got Paul Mills that I think is taking responsibility and being able to say, yeah, things did not go our way last night, but it is my job and my mission to turn that around, and that's what I'm going to do. And then on the flip side, you have Jerome Tang talking about 30 for 30s. You know what I mean? Like, so the vibes are down in both places. And even though the Wichita State loss because of the opponent was more disappointing last night than Kansas State losing to Drake, I actually feel more optimistic in what Paul Mills can do to turn around Wichita State than what Jerome Tang can do to turn around Kansas State.
Nah. It's this weird dynamic. I've thought about this a lot in the last 12 hours. I was not surprised that K-State lost to Drake. I was stunned that Wichita State lost to UMKC.
Oh, sure.
Which of those is worse, right?
Yeah, no question.
Because the problem is our expectations for K-State are coming way down. And they're coming down further with excuse-making for sure. Not excuse-making, but whatever you want to call that. Mm-hmm. Wichita State, we're stunned because we have higher expectations. Now, I'm not comparing one team to the other to say which one is better. I'm just saying, like, it's not good that we weren't surprised Drake beat K-State last night. Okay? I'm floored. I still cannot believe Wichita State lost to UMKC at home. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, not by 10
even.
That's
probably okay as long as they bounce back. Yeah. Now, the ramifications of the loss, they'll never get over. They'll never get over that loss as far as their resume. Now, that really damages what they might be able to do this season. The damage from K-State's loss is far less significant because they get to play in the Big 12.
But think about this. Kansas State now is assured to end non-conference play without any quality wins. Like, none. You go through their resume, no quality. Even if they win on Saturday, because of the Wichita State loss last night to UMKC, you think if Kansas State beats Wichita State on Saturday, that's a quality win for the Wildcats? It's not. It will not be as far as
it will be their most quality.
But as far as the committee is concerned, for looking at non-conference quality wins and their resume, because we know the Big 12 is a juggernaut. I would imagine if Kansas State has any hope of making it to the NCAA tournament, the committee is going to have a really hard time finding quality wins in non-conference play for the Wildcats.
I'm going to say the quiet part out loud of something that I've at least been observing. Right now, if we look at the Big 12, Kansas is not as good as we thought. I think we can all agree on that, at least not at this moment, right? And Shrey has talked about this. They don't look like the best team in the country, but and far from it. You've got Iowa State up there, okay? You've got Kansas. You got Houston at 15, who's been probably disappointing thus far. I think that's fair. Cincinnati's in there. That's it, fellas, right now in the top 25. The Big 12 is not right now as good as we thought it would be.
Yeah,
it is not playing through the non-conference. And so this probably isn't the year where 8 or 10 Big 12 teams are going to the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah, we were wrong on that because, I mean, you look at the SEC, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, they haven't played through the non-con at the level we thought they would, which is not crazy or surprising. Every team turns over so much roster. It's just not what we thought it was. So that lessens the likelihood that K-State, it's just like, well, we just need to finish in the top 8 of the Big 12. That I don't know that that's going to be what happens this year. It'll be what happens a lot of years, but it's not looking like it's going to be this year that happens. And that's another problem.
Can I ask you guys a quick question before we go to break? One quick question. It's a game, the 21st on Saturday against K-State, Wichita State, Charles Koch Arena. I want to ask you guys a question. Give me an estimate. Place seats 10-5. How many fans will be in? What will they announce? I'm just curious. What will the number of people be in Koch Arena?
Last night certainly didn't help the walk-up traffic, but I did also see yesterday somewhere that tickets were listed at like $80. I bet it'll be close to a sellout because you're giving a lot of Wichita K-State fans the chance to see K-State probably the only time this year. So, these plans have been made. This date has been circled. Two wins last night probably would have helped the walk-up traffic, I think, Tommy, but I'll bet you this is a big-time crowd on Saturday.
Yeah. And the other thing I wonder, too, and there's a big-time Kansas State contingent in Wichita, as we know, and in this area.
That's right.
People are going to travel. Like, I think it will be still a good matchup overall, but I think, for both programs, things are in really, really precarious situation for both teams, and that's what makes this matchup on Saturday so intriguing. And I asked Paul this question last hour off the air, and it might be something that, is worth discussing. Is the goodwill for Jerome Tang running low? Is it running out?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And
like, because I've always liked Jerome Tang for some of the words that he uses and the way that
I love his energy.
I think I said the words last hour about pontificating. Last night was pontificating, but I just like his philosophy on a lot of things. But I'm realizing the responses to that from the fan base, it's changed. It's changed a lot. Like, he made a comment, this was before the game yesterday. He was talking about how things had been tough for Kansas State. His words were, K-State in general, we're not quitters. Our farmers, when it doesn't rain, don't give up on the crops. And I'm like, that used to be, like, I would hear that, and I'm like, way to go, Jerome Tang. Like, way to relate to your fan base. Now I'm like, just stop. Just go and win a basketball game. You know what I mean?
All anybody wants, and I like all those things too, and I appreciate the standards he has as a human being and all of these things. It doesn't matter as much if you can't figure out how to run an offense.
Right.
And so that's, that's just the reality of the situation. Like it or not, that's the reality of it. Like, there have been a lot of great coaches who we've liked a great deal who've not been successful. It's just not going to work. And so, we'll ask Fitz this tomorrow. Is that wearing out? You better believe it's wearing out. and it is not going to go like that. There's not a long runway here, I don't think, if things continue to go this poorly, because on the track they're on right now, they won't win any Big 12 games. And that, of course, that's not going to happen. But they've beaten teams that are really bad, and they've lost to teams that are even remotely good. That's where we've been this year. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more Sports Daily. Guys, we're an hour and 20. You want to know how much that post-game audio ruffled feathers one way or the other? We're an hour and 23 minutes into this show, and we haven't talked Chiefs and an ankle injury update, which of which we have substantive updates. We'll do that next on Sports Daily. Some HTO, you can do that right now. Sweet or unsweet iced tea available. We'll give you one of those. We'll give you a free iced or hot coffee drink. You can win one of each by entering the text contest right now. All you got to do is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357, TEA 20357. Maybe you want to try a peppermint mocha iced or hot. Those will not be around forever, and time is running out. Get in there and check it out with one of your free coupons. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. All right. We get significant news, quite frankly, on Patrick Mahomes yesterday. We saw the Chiefs as underdogs against the Texans. The initial chatter was a high ankle sprain. And then yesterday we hear from Dan Israel early in the day when we talked to him for his weekly visit that it's a mid ankle sprain. And that did perk my ears up a little bit. Like, okay, mid ankle sprain. And then we hear from Mahomes after practice. We see him as a full participant in practice, basically saying, unless he thinks he hurts the team's chances of winning, he's going to play. Tommy, Patrick Mahomes is going to play. I think the great news in all of this is the injury does not appear to be as severe as it was feared. If it's not a high ankle sprain, as bad as it looked when it happened, then this probably isn't in reality that big a deal. Mahomes can play with an ankle sprain. It's just those high ankle sprains that you really fear in sports, but he's going to play this weekend. And now we can shift the focus to, can they get this win? And then can they beat Pittsburgh and put him on ice just because?
Yeah. And that's, I think, the best case scenario in general is that, you know, he's healthy enough where he feels like he can go out there and play on Saturday, not re-injure the ankle or make it any worse, be able to get the rest and recovery that he needs to then be able to play on Christmas Day with the goal that they clinch. I mean, they could clinch the number one seed in theory. They could clinch it this weekend if they win and Buffalo loses. I think that's probably unlikely, but they could wrap it up, you know, probably most likely by Christmas Day against the Steelers. And then at that point, yeah, you let him get all the rest he needs. You don't play him in the final regular season game against the Broncos. Then they get the bye, so he gets additional rest, and then should be ready to go for the divisional round. That's the ideal path that I think that everybody wanted to see happen. I'm not sure everybody thought it was realistic when you saw the opening news about his injury, but at this point, yeah, I think that that's the direction they're going to go.
Which just looked, and it's the Gumby thing, right? It looked like that was going to be a significant injured, not just because he was limping, because of, if you watch the hit, it's like,
is it weird that, like, and I don't know if I was the only one that wasn't like overly, you know, like concerned, not concerned, but I wasn't like stunned by the injury and like, oh my God, like what's going to happen? Because we've watched him bounce. The guy had his kneecap on the side of his leg that he put back into place. Like, this has happened a lot. I mean, we've watched him limp off with ankle sprains in years past and then get it taped up, and then he's right back in. Like, it's the Gumby effect, like you said. But even in the moment when that happened, yeah, the hit didn't look great, but there was never a thought in my mind that I'm like, oh man, we're screwed. Like, it's going to fall apart for I'd never thought that. So I wasn't overly surprised when he was a full participant yesterday.
I fear high ankle sprains. And so that was the only thing for me.
He had that in the playoffs a year ago.
Right. It's one of his greatest skills. You know, of all the things you talk about with Mahomes, that's one of his greatest skills. Let's play this audio here real quick from Mahomes talking about the injury. You got Andy Reid talking about it, and then Carson Wentz. Jad has that cut up for us, and then we can react to it.
So I'll get to work in practice and try to push it to see where I can get to. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to put our team in a bad position. So if I feel like I can play and go out there and win a football game, I'll play. And if I don't feel like that's the best case scenario, I'll let guys like Carson play. I mean, he's a guy that's won in this league as well. So it's just about pushing it this week, seeing where I'm at and making the best decision then.
Go through some stuff and we'll see how it works out for him. And if he can't work, you know, then Carson will take those reps that Pat doesn't. So we have full confidence in Carson. If he has to step in and play, then I think everybody, coaches and players, have full confidence that he can go in and do a nice job.
Sure. I think they are too. Again, I've told you I think they could beat the Texans with Carson Wentz. But if they don't need to, if Mahomes is fine, he's a full participant yesterday, Paul. Like, if he's able to practice all the way through practice, he's fine. Like, you're fine now. It's I don't want to say it's a nothing burger, because it's not a nothing burger, but it just isn't that. If he's practicing, why else would he need to practice unless he feels fine? You wouldn't need to practice him in full yesterday if he wasn't feeling fine. It just tells me that he's feeling fine.
Well, we don't know. I don't know about how much he actually practiced. I saw him doing some stretches on the field.
Is what they listed him as, and you can get in big trouble now in the NFL if you're not forthcoming with that stuff.
Guys, read between the lines. Patrick Mahomes is not going to play. Carson Wentz is going to play on Sunday. Read between the lines.
No way. Not a chance.
I'm not so sure. And part of
let's visit the place that always gets this stuff right. Las Vegas had the Chiefs as a 2.5-point underdog after the game on Sunday, when we were told it was high ankle sprain, all these things. After the practice report comes out, after the audio and Mahomes is listed as a full participant, the Chiefs go back to a 2.5 or a 3-point favorite. The line shifted 6 points. Mahomes is telling you. If Mahomes, Paul, tells you, unless I think I don't give my team a chance to win, basically, unless I think I'm hurting my team, I'm going to play. He's going to play.
Well,
he's got Hollywood Brown back, who was also, by the way, a full participant in practice yesterday for the first time. He's playing. I mean, I think he's doing everything he's allowed to do other than, you know, just announce it like, yep, I'm going to play on Sunday. And maybe they'll do that, or on Saturday. And maybe they'll do that later in the week. But there is absolutely no reason at all that you practice him if he's not playing. Why would you practice him? If he needs to get over the ankle injury, you don't put pressure on the ankle.
The surest thing that I can see from this whole thing is that when Coach Reed, Patrick Mahomes, both mentioned Carson Wentz, they mention him. They talk about it. That's something you wouldn't normally do. I mean, if this was, Patrick Mahomes is playing, you know, we don't have to worry about Wentz. We don't have to worry that he's going to be suited up because Mahomes is going to play. But both of them mentioned him. There's just something about the way they said Carson Wentz and the way that he got the attention from Patrick Mahomes and Coach Reed tells me something. I'm reading between the lines, Tommy. I'm reading between the lines. Now, it's a little narrow space between those lines.
Maybe so.
But I'm reading that. You just don't bring up Carson Wentz unless there's a good chance he's going to take your spot and you can't play.
I told you this, Jacob, on Monday when we were talking about this and reacting to it, that I believe that the only way that it's appropriate to start Carson Wentz if he has to.
Yeah, how's that?
Is if there is kind of a load management, you treat it like a preseason game or a meaningless.
And
like, I feel like you need to rest other starters. If you're going to start Carson Wentz, or at least the skill position players, so you don't risk injury to them as well. Like, I wouldn't play Isaiah Pacheco. I probably wouldn't play Xavier Worthy. I wouldn't play Travis Kelce. Well, like, those guys I probably would sit if you're not going to have Mahomes out there.
And I don't agree with that because, only for the reason that I think they could win with those guys and Carson Wentz. Now, I won't be stunned if we see, like, if things go well in the game, much like the Browns and the Chiefs are in a position to bring Wentz into the game at any point, that won't surprise me. But at this point, based on what we heard yesterday, and we'll see what happens today at practice, I will be shocked if Mahomes is not starting that game for the Chiefs. To me, like, everything they're saying points to he feels great and it's not as bad as we feared. And it's which shouldn't surprise any of us, because this does happen a lot with Mahomes. Like you said, unless his kneecap's hanging off of his leg, like he generally can play through this stuff.
One thing I've got to say, though, to that, Jacob, how many times this season has the Chiefs played a game where you could take your starting quarterback out at some point in the second half and finish with it? It doesn't happen this year.
Right. I agree. The Browns might be the only one for a long time. I agree. We've said it a million times. They need to be running the ball anyway. And they did against the Browns, except for those critical spots early in the fourth quarter. They did certainly commit more to the run than they did. Carson Wentz is not incompetent. Carson Wentz is, I think it's very intentional, quite frankly, that he's there. He's one of the better backup quarterbacks in football, and the Chiefs know, and that when we've seen the Chiefs win games, critical games with backup quarterbacks in the Mahomes era, they have a system in place where they are still good enough to get things done in a Wentz-driven offense. In this short passing game, you know, tight end, run the ball offense, that's an environment that Carson Wentz can be pretty good. And again, we heard Dan Israel say it yesterday, and he said it a lot. He has been amazed by how good Wentz has looked in preseason, training camp, practice, whatever it might be. I do think there's a lot of confidence there for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think the other thing too is I don't think we can let this injury situation with Patrick Mahomes and the question about if he's going to start or if Carson Wentz is going to play, I don't think you can let that overshadow the glaring issues that still remain. And the fact remains, and it hasn't changed. Bottom line is that regardless if it's Mahomes or Wentz, like to your point a couple minutes ago, Jacob, they have to run the ball more. Like, we're a broken record. It's every single week. They've got to rely on that, especially if Patrick Mahomes starts with an ankle sprain and he's not fully 100% and his mobility is limited potentially in the game if he ends up playing. They have to lean on the run game. There's no choice, because the last thing that you want to do is put him out there if he feels healthy enough to play, and then he ends up aggravating an injury or it ends up worse than it was. You cannot risk that in this moment.
Yeah, it's a long season, isn't it, Tommy? Started in the first part of September.
They hope it goes another 2 months.
Yeah, and it's going to go a while longer is the hope. But, you know, September, October, November, we're halfway through December. That's a long time. That's a lot of football. That's a lot of
hits.
That's a lot of hits. That's a lot of going to the ground. I'm just telling you guys.
A lot of games with a really bad offensive line, or at least bad tackles.
Well, that's a good point.
And it's not going to get good.
No.
I mean, the offensive line isn't going to get good. Nope. It's not going to be something that is a strength of this team, at least in pass blocking. No matter what happens, no matter what personnel is out there, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, maybe we see him limited. But again, like, we'll see practice. If there's one thing you can do, you can test an ankle in practice. And yesterday, it by all of this, it seems like the ankle's fine and there's nothing there. And whether there's something there or not, they're not even hiding the fact that they would like Mahomes to play. There's not even gamesmanship happening, right? Like, they're just like, Mahomes, like, yeah, unless something bad happens, I'm going to play, basically. And yeah, they're going to say if he can't, Carson Wentz will be ready to go. Of course they're going to say that. But they're not even, I don't even think they're trying to hide it. I think they're just all full steam ahead. And now they get this new weapon in Hollywood Brown, and we'll see what happens. But they get the Texans in a really big game on Saturday night. All right, we're going to take another break here. We're going to come back. We are wide open the rest of the way, which means the IHOP hotline is open for you. The official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try the decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. Sports Daily. On a Wednesday, Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, by the way. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Big news in the NFL. Well, Kirk Cousins is benched.
That's right.
Michael Penix Show. It's time. Everybody wants to know why Atlanta drafted Penix. Maybe it makes more sense now. Look, if Penix is good, you can give the Falcons a lot of credit, I think, for backing up Kirk Cousins. Now they've got a decision to make with Cousins, who's played really poorly lately. Feel bad, but I like Kirk Cousins.
Sure. And I thought he was going to be better. I did. I thought he would
be. He was up until about the last month. He was actually pretty good until the last month, and it's been really bad over that stretch of time. So now they're making a change, and they're right in the thick of things, and I don't blame them for that at all, and likely he'll be cut and paid a ton of money, and I don't know. I don't know what the future looks like for Kirk Cousins. I don't know why things aren't going well for Kirk Cousins right now. Mm-hmm. But again, like all of the criticism Atlanta took for drafting Penix, and now if you're a Falcons fan, you're sure glad they did it, mm-hmm. right? Like you're happy that they did it.
Yeah.
But that news was out there as well. Just crazy turn of events.
Real quick, two things on that before you move on to the next topic. One, Kirk Cousins will be fine. Thank you very much. 4-year, $180 million left on his contract. He'll be okay. He's going to be able to pay his bills. He's okay. The other thing is that Penix, I don't know how good this kid is. We haven't seen him enough to really know, but evidently he's performing well enough in the meeting rooms. He's performing well enough in practice. It'll be very interesting. But there was a reason they drafted Penix when they did. So yeah,
what's been a really good looking quarterback class. We'll find out. And of course, we haven't seen JJ McCarthy play yet either. All right, let's go to the IHOP hotline real quick before our break. Craig has a question on the line. Craig, welcome into Sports Daily.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I have a question about live sports being pushed over onto streaming channels. More specifically, how can I record them to watch them back if I'm not home? Let me clarify. I'm nearly 70 years old. I don't really understand a lot of technology.
Craig, do you have ESPN Plus, Craig?
I do have it through my Cox Cable sports package. Yes. And also,
are you referencing the basketball games last night specifically?
No, well, not specifically, but the Chiefs have been on Prime a couple of times.
Okay, so you're talking about the Chiefs. I got you.
A year ago, they were getting ready to be on.
I can tell you that on ESPN Plus, those games live there for a long time, so you can go back and watch them. They're just there. You might have to search for them. I don't know what that process is for Amazon or Netflix. I don't know if they're going to let those live there or if they just exist as live broadcasts. That's a great question. I have not looked. I've never tried to go back and watch one on Amazon or Netflix, so I'm honestly not real sure, other than to just go to those services and search for the team's name and see if they pop up.
Okay. Well, I'll certainly try that the Christmas Day.
But I do know ESPN Plus archives the games, so they're there. Like if you missed either the K-State or the Shocker game last night, if you went right now, you should be able to watch those. For these other new players in the market, I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet. I'll have to look at that. It's a good question. We appreciate the call, Craig. Thank you. I Paul. I don't. As we get into this now, we're going to see. Look, we're going to see the Netflix experiment on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. I have forgotten already, and I hope I'm not quickly reminded of how much of a disaster that was for the Mike Tyson fight. You couldn't watch it. You couldn't get it. It was a hot mess.
Well, speaking of the Mike Tyson fight, because of Craig's call, that was what I decided to go back and check to see if Netflix archives those things, to see if it was available to go back and watch. It is. It's still there.
Okay. Well, there you go then. Yeah, that's probably, Craig, thank you, Jad. That's probably what will happen is they'll just let it live there. I don't know why they wouldn't. They've got all the storage space in the world, unless they were trying to drive people to only watch it live. But at a subscription site, that doesn't make any sense. The NFL could have restrictions on that, I suppose, and not wanting that because I know they own the rights to a lot of archived video. The NFL, through NFL Films and the NFL Network, they have a lot more sway than a lot of places do. So whether or not that was negotiated into this, I'm not sure. But the only way to know will be to go. But you can go to Amazon now and just go try to find one of the Thursday night football games. That would be what you'd do. Because if you can't, in all likelihood, the NFL doesn't let them do that, which wouldn't surprise me at all. The NFL is very, very protective. But it's the streaming world. We're going to see a Netflix football game next week, this time, 1 week from today. We're going to have football on Netflix. Have a good time.
All right.
We're going to come back and tell you what's on the network tonight. Don't go away. We'll wrap up Sports Daily after.